Yeah, it's part of the Ikev. Haya Ikev Tishmunis Mishpatim Aila Ushmatim Asisim Osam Ushama Hashem Lukech Lachos the Brits Batachas Rishmish Palavosecha. It will be Ikev Tishmun. And I started off the last, I think, 5 years of Shiram with this question. What does Ikev mean? So Art School translates it as, this shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances. Three words that I really don't know what they mean. I know what ordinances somewhat mean. I think I know what hearken means. Reward. I don't know what that means. I don't know how Ikev translates into reward exactly, but when you listen to these mishpatim, and you guard them and you keep them and you do them, then God will watch over for you the bris that He has made with the forefathers and the kindness that He swore to do to your forefathers. And then it goes to a bunch of brachos. Gives you a couple things. And if you say bad things, HaKadosh Baruch will destroy you, say, etc., etc. Okay, so Sefer HaRedim. Sefer HaRedim, same thing as Sefer HaRedim that we had last year. He says, translates Akev is the word heal. That is the most pasha translation. Literally in Hebrew, Akev means heal. He says the following. He says the heel is the least part of a person's body. The smallest part, the part that is stepped on all the time, the part that is just, I guess you can call it, like the most garbage part. I would somewhat assume the sole of the foot would be that way. But I guess maybe that's part of it, that it's more
nerves.
It's more calluses. So I guess the part of the body that feels the most, that's all the way in the bottom, is the heel. It stands for anivus and for shiflus, for humility and lowliness. That a tzaddik is only zocha to be a yirei shemayim, to fear God, by looking at himself as if he is absolutely nothing. If you're Akev, if you look at yourself as a heel, as nothing in comparison to other people, as a nobody, then then you'll really be able to listen to my mitzvos and everything will be good. This whole parsha has a theme of Yirah Shemayim. As we go through, it gets into Masha Malakecha, Shol Mimcha Kim Yirah. What does God ask from you except to fear Him? Kim Yirah as Hashem Malakecha, in order to fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to explain that Yirah. And what does it mean that when I turn into an Anav, when I turn humble, all of a sudden I'm going to realize what it means to be fearful? To fear heaven. I mean, why would that be any greater than a person who thinks of himself as great? Let's just say, I believe myself is great, but I believe God is greater. I still think that I'm great. Why do I have to look at myself as if I'm a heel, as if I'm nothing, in order for that to happen?
You are.
What?
Not you. Because we are.
You're right. But
if you think of that, then you're
I think
not.
Of myself as better than a lot of other people. Why can't I do that, and yet still get all this Yirah Shemayim, all this fear of heaven that everybody else has? What's the difference? What happens over here? You're right. You're 100% right. Now, we're going to bring it all in. Now, by Kalev, it says the exact same word. Ekev ha'iso ruach acheres bo, because he had another spirit, not like the Meraglim. The rest of the Meraglim had a certain type of spirit with them. They wanted to do something. But Kalev, ekev ha'iso ruach acheres bo, he had a different spirit. He had a little bit of a nivus in comparison to the other 10 Meraglim. By Avram Avinu, ekev asher shama Avram bekoli, because Avram Avinu listened to my voice. Both of them had true nivus. Avram Avinu, he said, Enochi yofer efer, I'm dirt, I'm ashes, I'm nothing in comparison and everything else. Kalev looked at himself as if he was nothing in comparison to the other Meraglim. He was number 5 on the list when he really should have been number 1. He was one of the most kosher people around there, but still, they had true anivus. They were able to hold their own when everyone was going against them. If you think that you're a bar plukta, if you think that you're good enough to argue, sometimes you get into arguments that you don't really need to have. Sometimes you throw yourself in the way of things that you didn't really need to do. If a guy's driving down the street and another guy just cuts you off, so if you think of yourself as nothing, then you won't do anything at all. You're not going to do anything at all. But if you think of yourself as something, you're going to take the next opportunity to go around that guy, not only show him off, I don't want to mention any fingers that might go up on the side, but you'll go right in front of him, break a little bit, you know, and just like look back at him and just be like, what are you going to do? And then make sure that any time the guy goes, if a guy thinks of himself that way, you keep getting into fights. Avram Avinu and Kalev both got into fights, but it wasn't the punch fights. Avram Avinu was able to knock down the Ovi Avodah Zarah and convince them that they should follow his way. Kalev was able to go up against other people when they were trying to speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael and say to them, what are you guys doing? And he's the one that led Yoshua. We know he led Yoshua. And Yoshua needed an extra year to be able to do it. Kalev was able to do it because he looked at himself as if he was a dog. As if he was a dog loyal to its master. Not going to anyone else but its master. The whole idea of Avram and Kalev is to understand that even if you have a strong personality, sometimes you have to look at yourself as if you're absolutely nothing, to truly say that you're absolutely nothing. And that way, when you give Musar, then it's purely L'shem Shemayim. people realize you're not doing it because you think you're so much better than everybody else. Why are you doing it? You're doing it for the sake of the other person. You're looking at the other guy and you're saying, it's for you, it's not for me. And the other person feels it. If the guy has a little bit of a, if the guy's getting paid to do it, I hate to put it this way, but when a Baal Tshuva rabbi, like a Kiruv rabbi, he's getting paid to do it, you realize that. And you see it in him. And you feel bad, because you can't listen to him the same way. He might be a great guy, he might be a tremendous person with a lot of wisdom, but you know he's getting paid to do this. He's getting something for it, and you realize there's something off about that. It's not bad, it's just, you realize something's different. If you do it, l'shem shemayim, you do it for the right reasons, v'haya ekev, if you make yourself into that heel, then tishmoon, you will be listened to. That's the idea. People will look at you and say, wow, I want to listen to that guy. Because that guy's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for me. He really, really believes in me. He really thinks that I'm something, that I really mean something. Says the Kedushas Levi, not only does it go that way, it takes your tefillos as well. If you look at yourself as nothing, and you say things to people, and people realize it's for their good, not for your good, but for their good, then your tefillos are listened to. That's how you become a mekubal. Not everybody can just become a Makobol. It's possible, Renan, for it to happen very, very quickly. But only if you sit there and you say to yourself, what do I need in order for myself to be able, for my feelings to be listened to? I need to look at myself as if I'm nothing. I need to see myself as if I'm absolutely nothing. And then that tzaddik will daven and everything will be good. Answers a huge question. Schar mitzvos b'hayama. Finish off this sentence for me. Schar mitzvos, the reward for mitzvos in this world.
Mitzvos.
No. There is schar mitzvah, mitzvah. But schar mitzvah is b'chai alma. The pasuk says, leka. I shouldn't say pasuk, it's a gemara. Leka, there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. So what in the world is going on with this parsha? If you listen to my mitzvahs and you keep it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you everything back. And I will love you and I will give you bracha and everything will be good. Your fields growing, you have this happening for you. How can that be? Schar mitzvah b'chai alma, leka. You're not supposed to get anything in this world. So what in the world is going on here? The pshat is, that's not what you're getting rewarded for. You're not getting rewarded for your mitzvahs. Your mitzvahs are an olam haba. The reason why you're getting rewarded is for the mitzvahs that you cause other people to do. If you make another person say amen, if you make another person learn something, if you make another person daven or say a bracha for the first time, that's where you get your schar and olam haba from. It's not from you doing the mitzvah, it's from helping others do the mitzvah. And then v'haya ekev, if you look at yourself as that ekev, as that heel, so that people will listen to you, then tishmon, then people will start listening to you, then good things will happen. But it only becomes because of the schar that you, the mitzvahs come because of how I look at myself and how a person really thinks of himself. Is he an Akev or is he a Rosh? Does he think of himself as a head? Somebody that's doing something? I'm so hushed. And usually that happens when a guy has not done so much his whole high school career, and then all of a sudden he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and in a year he thinks he's starked out completely. And all of a sudden he's like so stark, like anything I do, with like I'm a gadol and everybody else is just so down low. You wasted 17 years in your life, and you have 6 months in which you maybe you were able to learn 4 hours a day. And don't tell me, but I was in the base medrash from 6 a.m. to... You bottled 95% of that time. I know what my first year was like. I wouldn't fool anybody into saying that my first year was stark. You got to say, 6 years of how much did I waste? How much did I waste? Maybe you got 4 hours of learning. All of a sudden, you think you're a gubble? From 4 hours a day? 4 hours times 6 days a week. That's 24 hours a week. Does anybody know how many hours there are in a week? There's a lot. There's a lot. You'd have to 24 times 7, and that gets into big numbers, and that's just too much. Way too much. It's too much to go for. That's what it means. If you look at yourself and start saying to yourself, who am I? I'm a piece of garbage. I don't deserve anything. Then it's a little bit different. And that's the reason why the whole pasuk is talking Balash and Rabin. Tishmeun is Rabin. Mishpatim is Rabin. Ushmartem. Vasisem osam. Then it's going to be that way. Then Vishomar Hashem Elokecha Lecha. If you're able to make other people keep those mitzvos, it's not for you. If you're able to convince other people, people look at you and say, wow, that person's good. So good that they want to do mitzvos because of what they see in you. Then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we reward you individually. It's the bris v'sachas ha'adosh ha'nishtalav osecha. That's the difference behind it. The whole idea is to help out the rabbin more than anything else. And sometimes, by the way, that takes another form of Akev. Akev is also used in Yaakov to mean trickery. Curvy. A little bit the other way. Akev Tishmoon can be the following thing. Sometimes you got to fool people. You use MS instead of Shekhar. You go Yaakov Avinu instead of Isava Rasha. You got to do it Yaakov's way. But sometimes you got to be tricky in order to get somebody. You got to sometimes do things that are a little bit strange. Not a lie, not a sheker, not tell them things that are not true. Sometimes you got to be a little bit tricky if you want to be Makar of a guy. Sometimes you got to be do things that are a little bit strange. That's the idea of Akev, to do it with Arama, with tricky, with Chochma, to be able to figure it out, but you still got to be like Yaakov. But you still got to do it with Emes. It's not easy to be a Kiruv rabbi. I don't envy their position. I envy their schar and olam haba. I do not envy their position in olam hazeh. Their olam hazeh is not an easy olam hazeh. To think their entire lives that they're trying to get people to do something, which is very, very hard to convince somebody to do. That also answers a big thing as well. The only thing that's mentioned over here, if you listen to the mishpatim, what about the chukim? And what about the edus? There are three different types of mitzvos. Chukim are mitzvos that we don't understand. Edus are mitzvos like things that have to do with the holidays and for Shabbos and things like that. Mishpatim are the easy to do mitzvos. The mitzvos like kibud al va'em, which I probably would do anyway. Well, I'm not so sure. Lo sirtzach, don't murder. Lo signo, don't steal. These things make lo signovu. These things make sense. That's mishpatim. Why are we only mentioning mishpatim here? But ikim tishmun is that chukim, that mishpatim, that edus, it should say. All three of them. Why does it only mention mishpatim? Because these are the ones that are the easiest given to other people to do. To go ahead and tell somebody, listen, you got to keep Shabbos. See how hard that is? I mean, why? I don't know. I'll tell you honestly. I can't tell you. Some say because the kind in Hevel, other people say the Black Plague. The Black Plague was kind of shotness. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't really tell you. Do you want to commit somebody to do shotness, to go ahead and keep shotness or para yuma? Listen, you want to become taller? I'm just going to burn this red cow here. You're going to take the ashes, mix it in with water, and sprinkle it on you. What is this, magic? No. Prescribed by the Torah. Why is it any different from magic? I can't explain that to you right now. I can give you a Ramban. That's about all I can give you. A Chok? That's almost impossible. To get a guy to keep Yom Tov for Shabbos? That takes a lot of trickery. What do you mean I can't turn on a light? Well, because Rosh Hashanah Zaman Orbach holds it, that's electricity. that's considered Maverage. How does that work? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea how electricity has anything to do with Maverage. I can't tell you. Rosh Hashanah Zaman Orbach has tons of tshuvas on it, so that's how it goes. It's confusing. It's absolutely confusing. But a mishpat, these things are easy. Those types of things people can understand, and that will help them so that you can convince them to do the mitzvah so that you get the reward from it. I'm going to take it a little bit further, though. The Shem Yishmol has an awesome answer why there's only mishpatim in this pasuk, and chukim and edus are not there whatsoever. An awesome answer. He says the following. Mishpatim also means dinei Torah. I think that makes sense, right? The mishpatim are the dinim of the Torah. Parshas mishpatim goes to the dinim that a dayan has to have when two people come up in front of him, the dinim of bein adam lechaver, where one person goes up against his friend. It seems that it's referring to dinei Torah. Wouldn't it be better if we didn't have to have any mishpatim at all? Wouldn't it be better if nobody went to court? Nobody went to Beis Din? I mean, that would be a better thing, right? If you don't have anybody going to Beis Din, there wouldn't be any... I should say, if there's no fights, you don't have a need for a Beis Din, that would be a better level. I realize you need a Beis Din, but it's more of a b'dieved. You only go to Beis Din, you only go to court because people are yelling at each other. People are suing one another. But isn't it better if everybody can take care of their things on their own? It's only because we don't know how the world works. Everything down here has a counterpart in Shemayim. There's something that goes on down here. It affects everything that happens in Shemayim. When I move my finger, it's not just me moving my finger. There's malachim that are in charge. There are malachim that are doing certain things. And there are malachim that are deciding why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides why I have to want to move my finger, but he moves around the malachim. And when I do it, and when I decide to do something, good or bad, that can cause unbelievable things or havoc in the olamos up above, in the other worlds that are around, which are for the malachim. A malach-filled world. When you pass away, you see the worlds that you created and the worlds that you destroyed through your different deeds, through different things that you've done. It's not an easy thing to watch. Not an easy thing to realize. To sit there and to say to myself what I did and what I didn't do. It's not an easy thing to think about. Mishpatim and Dinei Torah, when I take a person to a Din Torah and I say that Reuven owes Shimon $100 and the Dayanim Paskin that way, the Reuven owes Shimon $100, that causes a big rash in Shemayim. A storm, and it makes the Koko Satuma thrown down. If it's a correct din and it's done the right way, that Reuven owes Shimon $100, that means that Koko Satuma cannot take away $100 from somebody who has Kedusha. Sounds strange. If the Mishpat is wrong, and they charge somebody $100 who should not have been chayiv that $100, then it gives Koko Satuma the ability to take away $100 from a person. If a person loses something, a watch, a $200 watch, and he can't figure out why, He has no idea why that $200 watch is gone. It's because there was a din Torah that happened. It might have nothing to do with you. In which the wrong sack was given, and the Kochos HaTumah were able to take it away from you, from your Koach HaKedusha, and bring it over to their side. Now, obviously, that gets into things that we don't really understand, but the concept is clear. Dinei Torah have nothing, they affect us here in Olam Hazeh, but it has more of an effect in Olam Haba. Much more of an effect in Olam Haba. And it causes things up there that are huge things for the entire world. And if you make a Din Torah happen, and it does the right thing, that helps Kedusha gain control over the entire world, you can make sure that a Kaddish Baruch who has a hand on the entire world, the Satan can't be around there, if a person does a Din Torah correctly. There are three things mentioned in the Pasuk by the Mishpatim. Tishmeun, you will listen. Ushmartem, and you will guard. Vasisem, and you will do. Those three things stand for the three parts that a person has in this world. There's a person's nefesh, there's a person's guf, and then there's a person's, I guess you want to call it his chachma, which is neither the nefesh nor the guf. It's a little bit different from both. The chachma, the intellect of a person. Call it intellectual, emotional, and physical aspects of a person. When we talk about hearing, tishmeun, that deals with intellectually. I understand what I have to do. I understand what those mishpatim are. I understand what those judgments are, and I understand this is how I have to go about them. That's tishmeun. Ushmartem is to guard in your heart, to think in your heart and to say to yourself, this is what I have to watch out for, this is what I have to do, and to say to yourself, and your nefesh runs through your blood, it's through the heart where the ventricles and all the blood goes through your entire system. The nefesh is sitting there and saying, this is what you have to do, and shmartem is guarding over what you have to do. And vasisem obviously is your goof. Doing it is the actual goof itself, the body going ahead and doing something physically that goes about it. How does that work? Every single part of our system has to be working for good, has to be doing something that's kadosh. If we do it correctly, and we use our brain, we use our hearts, and our hands, we use it for good things, and we make sure that we're shmartem, basisem, and kishmun, and the mishpatim, and we do them in the right way, then the entire world is affected in every way possible, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So that the entire world is completely different. It's a different world than from before that din was made, before that mishpat was made. You don't realize what ends up happening when a person goes up to another person and says, you know what, here, I remember I owe you $5 from a couple years ago and I never paid it back, here's the $5. Oh, but Shemitah passed. He doesn't really owe the money. Oh, but the guy was already mocha on the money. You have no idea what happens at that point. You give money back to the person who it was owed to, the person who originally owned that money, it causes a rash in Shemayim. And immediately the Kochos HaTumah are taken down. And they're said, if that guy can do this, then you guys can't take away from that person. Mishpatim is a non-selfish mitzvah. It has something to do with the entire world. Everyone gets affected. Everyone in the entire world, not just Jews, non-Jews alike. Everybody gets affected by these mishpat.
Does that mean that you can do mitzvahs and it doesn't benefit you, it only benefits other people?
It always benefits you in Shemayim for your schar and Olam Haba.
Okay.
But in Olam Hazeh, schar mitzvahs b'hayom aleka. There's a different way of looking at things. Yes, it can affect you, the Karen can affect you in certain ways, but no. It doesn't have a direct effect on you. It has an indirect effect on you that the world is now a more kadosh place because of it. There's more kiddush in the world because of it. This is in every opinion. The Ksam Sofer definitely has an argument on this. But this is the opinion of, we should call it the Shem Yishmol. And it's an awesome way of looking at this. That makes us all different from Esav and Yishmol. Why Esav and Yishmol and us? We all have schusavos. What's the difference between Esav and Yishmol and us? Why are we any better? Because we have these mishpatim. And we have Dine Torah that are able to bring more kiddush into the world. Esav and Yishmol, they're doing it for themselves. What happens if you kill yourself and you kill a bunch of Jews with you? You get the 70 virgins. Or 72. Difference in Girsa. You get everything. It's all you. You get everything. Everything happens for you. When it comes to Esav, it's a reward for themselves. It's a reward for what they're doing. For us. It's a reward for the entire world. We don't even realize what we're doing. But the point behind Mishpatim, the point behind Dine Torah, for us to do it in the right way, is to make more Ruchnius in the world. To make that Ruchnius God. And we're only going to realize that the Akev. And Akev at the very end, when Bayom Ahu Yashem Akad Shmo Akad, that's when we start realizing the Kochos HaKedusha were brought, Kochos HaTumah were knocked down, the Kochos HaKedusha were brought up to be a tremendous thing. And that's going to help us with an unbelievable question. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomim Kalkim Liyira. It says, toward the middle of the Parsha, What does God ask from you except to fear Him? What does God ask from you? This is the easiest thing in the world. Just to fear me, that's all I want you to do. I'm not asking you for anything big, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the Klal Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All I'm saying is, please, just fear me. Just give me Yira Shemayim. What, you think Yira is easy to do? The Gemara Brachos asked it. Lama Gimel Lama Beis. Also, Yira Moses Utrafi, you think Yira is such an easy thing to do? Anybody can fear God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in. Legabe Moshe, Moshe Zutrasi. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was an easy thing. Okay, but he was telling it to Bnei Yisrael. He says, what else could a Kadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? It seems like this. We know the line. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mi, yiras shamayim. Everything's in the hands of God, except for one thing. Fear of heaven. That's up to us. You're telling me that's easy? Everything else, I can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for, but I can't ask him for yiras shamayim? That's easy? And Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu is like, come on! The easiest thing in the world, to fear God? How could you not fear God? What do you mean? How could I fear God? I don't understand Him. I don't know where He is. I don't understand what He does. This is so easy for me to do. That's number one. Number two, we're not supposed to ask God to help us in Yiras Shamayim. Anybody know the first part of a Tuk Hadosh when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What do we say? V'tein pachtecha. Akol ma'asha b'rasa. Give your fear upon everybody who's here. How could we ask for that? I thought everything's in the hands of heaven except for Yiras Shamayim. That's number one. Number two, you say it every day. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us fear Him. We're not asking for anything else. We're asking Him to help us with this Yira. I don't understand. There's another one. V'yasin b'libeinu. Finish it off. V'yasin b'libeinu. Avaso, Viraso. Put in our hearts the Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, I don't understand what that means. Are we really asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yira? I thought everything's in the hands of Shemayim except for Yira Shemayim. How can we ask Him for it? Of course we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yira Shemayim. So what are we saying? What's the line? Number two, does it apply by Goyim or does it only apply by Jews? It seems, Maha Shem Elokecha Shol Meimcha. What did He ask from you? Kim Yira. It's only you. It's only Bnei Yisrael. It's not the Goyim. Well, I don't understand. Goyim can't have Yiras Shamayim? By Amalek, it says, Velo Yirei Elokim. They're not fearers of God. It was one of the problems with Amalek, that they didn't fear God. So number one, how in the world could we say that about them? Who cares? They don't need Yiras Shamayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Yiras Shamayim from them. What does Avraham Avinu say? What does Avraham Avinu say when he comes near the Plishtim? He says, there's no Yiras Shamayim in this land. They don't need Yiras Shamayim. What's the problem? What difference does it make if there's no Yiras Shamayim? It doesn't make a difference that there's no Yiras Shamayim. They're not required. What did Yosef say when he saw the Shvatim? Es Elokim ani yorei. I'm afraid of God. Who cares? That's not real Yiras Shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask that from any other nation. Why would Yosef even bother saying that? All Rav Schwab's questions, but Rav Schwab comes up with a board that's very similar to Kedushas Levi, to Levi Yitzchak. There's two types of Yira. There's the Rosh, and then there's the Eked. Let's go through both those types of Yira. There's one way of fearing God. You have a brain, right? You have a brain. You sit down and you think about, sit down in a forest. Go find a forest. And go look at all the trees. And go look at everything in Shemayim. And go see all the greatness that there is out there in this world. Look up at the sky. Stare at the stars. Look at the entire world. And see everything. And tell me, do you really honestly think that there's no God? Do you really honestly believe that this is all random? My brother, last week, I won't say which one, I got six of them, so you can take guesses. My brother thought last week, although he's not here right now, my brother thought last week when Dolly the sheep was cloned, the whole cloning business, he thought that it was like the transmogrifier in Calvin and Hobbes, that you have like a little box, and you put the sheep like in the box, and there's two sheep. It's two sheep that just like form each other, you know, like all of a sudden like zap, and all of a sudden there's a sheep there and the sheep walks out. And I told him, we can't come to a billion of replication of the human eye, let alone your skin. Nobody can come anywhere close, no matter how hard we try, no one can come close to replicating skin in its natural form. Nowhere. There's nothing. We can replicate certain bone structures, but it's still not the same thing as the actual bone. We can replicate certain types of the lung, but we can't make an actual lung. We definitely can't come anywhere near an eye, and you're expecting us to all of a sudden zap, and all of a sudden another thing comes around? You can't make another eye, you can't make another nose. In olfactory sense, you can't make that. There's no way you can make a tongue with all those tiny, 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 all those buds that are the taste buds that are on your tongue. It's ridiculous. And then for them to grow back after you burn them off, whenever you have that hot soup and you're like, oh man, and 3 days later, you're just like, oh, I still can't taste anything. 4 days later, you forget that you ever had it. You sit there. It's an unbelievable sense. An unbelievable sense. Nobody thinks about that. I just burned my tongue. I burned all my taste buds off. And yet somehow they pop up again. They somehow come in the middle of nowhere. They're not popping up right now. It's so strange. It's unbelievable. You can look at biology. You can look at a biology book and you could say, this is all natural. This is something that's just so random. So random that it could just come up in natural selection. Eventually we'll bring it. And it took hundreds of millions of years, but it did take it. I can't believe a person would do that. That's seichel. That's using your Rosh. That's your shemayim that applies to everyone in the world. That's a year that a Kaddish Baruch Hu expects, but doesn't need from the other nations of the world. And if you're not a Yireh Elokim, then who knows what's going to happen there? The land will be full of garbage. The whole land will sit there and be like, well, I think that this is moral. And everybody will look at me and say, no, I think this is moral. Who's going to define the moral code? Who's going to define what's moral and what's not? Who's going to define what you can put on TV and what you can't? What, the executives? Yeah, that's going to work. That's really going to work. There's got to be a moral code. There's got to be someone, that says, no, we can't have this. There's got to be a rating system where certain movies will get a rating and certain movies will not. Where certain movies will not be able to be shown. Where certain things have to happen. You have to have that. Because otherwise the whole world goes haywire. You need that type of Yireh Shamayim. That's Bidei Shamayim. That's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us be able to use our intellect to be able to figure out that you're there. By the way, there's a Malbim in this week's Parsha. It's just a parenthesis. It says the reason why we don't understand how the world works and the reason why we're so far off and we're stupid, it's all because we eat the wrong things. And we have a lot of physical pleasure with things that are out there in this world. So when you have more pleasure, it's harder for you to think. Because your brain doesn't work on physical sense. Nerves are a different story. But it doesn't work in a physical sense. It doesn't work in the gashmias world. Your brain works in a little bit higher of a sphere. And if you keep adding on more and more taiva, then it dulls the senses of the brain and brings up the senses of the heart, which desires more and more and more. So you start interrupting all the things that are going on. You start thinking to yourself, what's going on with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? And all of a sudden you find yourself fighting aliens with a we. And you don't get it. Because all of a sudden your brain is coming into play with all the things that it remembers, all those things that are back there, because you're affecting yourself with all the tithes that are out in this world. That's Chassidi Umos Olam. That's Yireh Shamayim, but it's not the Yireh Shamayim that Kaddish Baruch Hu asks from us. What does God want from us? The year of a heel. Start us off. Start us off all the way back from the beginning. You know, sometimes people look at themselves as ani. They look at themselves with an ego. And they say, I exist. Unbelievable, no? Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. Unbelievable. Unbelievable amount of gaiva. Unbelievable amount of gaiva. I think, therefore I am. That means that you're something in this world on your own. You don't need anybody else's help. You don't have to ask anybody else for anything. It's you. I think, therefore I am. So I can think whatever I want. Nobody else can affect me. Nobody else's thoughts affect my thoughts. My thoughts are my own. And I can use them for my own thing. That's an ani. That's who I am. The true Yireh Shamayim, real Yireh Shamayim, is to believe that a Kaddish Baruch Hu made yesh me'ayin, took something out of nothing, to turn your ani into ayin, aleph yud nun, into nothing. That you are literally nothing. That a Kaddish Baruch Hu could make up his mind tomorrow and say, forget it. And not that you would die. You would cease to exist. You're only here because of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You're only here because he wants you here and you have a job here and there's something you're supposed to do. Stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about everybody. To go from ani to ayin is a hard job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask the rest of the nations of the world for that. They don't have the senses to be able to do that. They don't have the schus avos to be able to do that. We have Avraham Avinu's blood running through our veins. And Yitzchak Avinu's and Yaakov Avinu's. And the Shvatim. It's running through our brains, not to mention the emos. It's running through our blood. It's running through everything we have, and we sit there and we can say to ourselves, we really are nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't ask that from the whole world. That's too much. For them to think themselves as nothing, to fear God, that's one thing. When your plane is crashing, to yell out and say, oh God, please help me. That you can ask from them. From us, it's when you're walking down the street and you're strutting and you feel like John Travolta in the 70s. And you're walking around, you get your shirt out, and you start like strutting down, and you're walking around, for you to stop for 1 second and say, I'm only here because of God. And not just for a second, for it to last that second, and then go back to, that's not going to work. For you to continuously have that thought in your head, I am here because of God. And it shouldn't be a sad thought. It should not be, it should be sobering. But it shouldn't be there as like, oh man, what am I doing here? What's my life worth? I'm nothing compared to everything in the world. It's not, no. To think to yourself, I'm here because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me here. I must have something that I'm supposed to do. And strutting down Divan probably isn't it. Probably. It could be, I don't know. For certain people it might be. But probably is not the answer over here. That real Yira is not something you can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for. It's something you gotta figure out on your own. It's something you gotta do for yourself. You gotta sit there and you gotta say to yourself, here's what I have to do. That's Omedes Lod.
What if they're going to figure that out for themselves?
Oh, God, if they want to, they can. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect that from them. The other Yira, Kadosh Baruch Hu can ask them for. And say, I want you to have that Yira Shemayim, the Chokhma Yira Shemayim. But to look at yourself as an Akev, the heel's worth of Yira Shemayim, to look at yourself as if you're nothing, as you're downtrodden, as if you're Ayin, as if you're not here, Kadosh Baruch Hu only expects that as somebody with a pure Neshama. Somebody who has Chus Avos that comes down from Shemayim all the way down. Who can take the Ani out of the Ayin and become something. I don't know. In our world, it's the hardest type of hardest thing to ask from a person. To go up to a person and say to them, think of yourself as if you're nothing in comparison to God. Because, for some reason, depression has become extremely prevalent. Depression is huge. And people start thinking to themselves, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. What am I supposed to be? You can't think that way. You still are Ani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still turned the Ayin into Yesh. He made you. And keep thinking to yourself, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'm not here for nothing. I got to be here somewhere. You say it in the morning. After Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melechai V'Keyom Shech Zad Yivin Shmasi B'Chamla Rabba Munasecha Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Listen to this. The beginning of wisdom is Yiras Hashem. Because if a person uses Chokmah, you can come about to Yiras Hashem. Every mention of Yira within your davening is referring to the Yira that applies to the entire world. It's Yira that comes from your brain. It's Reishis Chokmah Yiras Hashem. Every year, and that's why throughout davening, whenever it mentions the word Yira, you will see the word Ava nearby. And almost always in front of it. Yasim b'libenu avasu v'yirasu v'yachelo avenu l'avo l'yira. It's Ava before Yira. You know why? Because that Yira Shemayim is a high level, but it's nowhere near Ava Hashem. The love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than that level of Yira Hashem. Yira is unbelievable to really believe, to really fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to have an awe in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to realize that there's a God out there, that when I say His name, I shake a little bit. It's an unbelievable level of Yira. Unreal level of Yira. That's something that's very attainable. Very easily attainable. And it's not as great as loving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But this Yira, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha, is Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha. It's to look at yourself as if, what am I? To look at yourself as a what? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was not saying, what does a Kadosh Baruch Hu ask from you except to fear you? He's saying, what is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? And that'll bring you to the true Yira. It's not the fake Yira Shemayim that you can ask for in your davening. I shouldn't say fake. The lower level of Yira Shemayim that you ask for in your davening. The level of Yira Shemayim that anybody can get to. It's not. You want to get to the real level of Yira Shemayim? Look at yourself as, what am I? What am I doing here? That is no Sheikha Sitzvila. Because you can't ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for help in that. You have to do it to yourself. You can't ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make you into a bigger Anav. You either are a bigger Anav yourself, or you're a bigger Baal Gai. You can't ask anyone else to help you out with that. Maybe you could ask somebody to beat you at everything. I don't know. And that'll probably work. It'll help a little bit. And to knock you down a little bit. But other than that, you can't do that. You can't do it. You can't. I wish we would all be Zocher to this type of Yerush Shamayim. I just find it to be almost an impossibility. We live in a world of sports, and every sport is all about I'm better than you. For one second, at one fleeting moment, even Dwayne Wise can be the champion. Even Dwayne Wise. I don't mean to like make fun of him or anything, but even he can be out there. It was an unbelievable thing that Mark Burley pitched a perfect game. Because it shows you. I hate to put it this way, but I don't think I'm going to get in trouble. Even a nobody can do it. Even if somebody who just doesn't... He's not a great pitcher. He's a very strange pitcher. But even he can do it. It shows you that anyone can do it. Anyone has the ability to do it. Anybody at some point can beat the defending AL champions. Can... perfect game them. I don't even know what the word is. Can make sure that they don't get anything off. It happens. It's such a huge lesson. Such a huge lesson that anybody's ayin can turn into an ani, but only if they look at themselves as an ayin. Only if they look at themselves as if, what am I? What am I? I'm really nothing. We should all be zocher to this. But let's just very quickly, that was the pshat. We started off with the akev, meaning shiftless, looking down at yourself. We said Kalev and Avram Avinu had that, and that's how people listen to them, and they do mitzvahs because of them, and that's where you get your schar from, because other people are doing the mitzvahs, not you. We said Mishpatim are different from Chukim and Eidus. The Shem Yishmuel says Mishpatim are Dine Torah that affect the entire world. And there are the Shmartim, Basisim, and Tishmaun, the three different parts of this world. Then we said the two differences in Yerushalayim. The lower level of Yerushalayim that God asks the Goyim for and that we ask HaKadosh Baruch for in our Tefillah. Then comes Avat Hashem, and on top of that comes Yerushalayim, which is beyond anything else. A Yerushalayim which is pure, pure awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is only when you look at yourself as if you're Ayin, as if you're an Akev, and that's the connection between the entire parsha. Have a good Shabbos, guys.